Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, after playing my buddy in New York, Brandon Tierney, hyperventilating last year, saying the Jets had a hope with Zach Wilson. That got me fired up. There's real hope this year. Knock on plastic. Please, Aaron Rodgers, don't go down.
He's not.
I mean, going to be live here in front of like 800 people on mic if something happens. It's not going to be good. Last year I got the sulk in my car before I arrived. I heard him play three plays. He went down for the season. So Jets, Niners, we're here at the front yard, Ellis Island, right on Koval and Flamingo. Great place for locals, great place for tourists. This is one of the places my parents have been here like three times over the years, and they're like, the breakfast, steak and eggs. Oh, they love it. So much to talk about.
The food is great so far. I've eaten everything.
You can't even finish the second half of your burger.
I know. It's amazing.
What's happened to you?
Well,
you're a big fellow who can't eat anymore.
I'm not as fat as I used to be. So
there you go. You've lost it.
I've lost the touch.
We're going to talk to RJ Clifford about UFC coming up and his Raiders. Wow. You pick me up. Raiders, tough game yesterday, but it's not over, okay? It's not over. When is your big comedy show? I was driving down on the it's south on the 15.
Yeah.
We'll call it where they'd love to extend the strip to, but Silverton, sure. I see this giant sign.
Yeah.
You're on it.
I know. It's amazing. I'll be at the Vail Pavilion at the Silverton the 28th, which is a Saturday.
Hello.
Doors open at 8 p.m. And there'll be a couple openers before me, and then I'll be headlining.
So. You're headlining?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't leave my house unless I'm headlining.
Do you procrastinate? Do you write up, like, to the moment? Or do you have everything done?
I was actually talking about something like this earlier. I haven't been up in a year.
Oh, wow. It's going to be fresh.
And I haven't written anything.
Okay,
so,
good. I thought you were like, I got to get out and play, man. My materials.
And
it's all backed up.
It's funny because usually when I work for these guys, they make me do about an hour. So I got to come up with a new hour in the next 3 weeks. Somehow.
Well, for entertainment options, go to that show. Another great option are the Autumn Windbags. It features RJ Clifford, and he and his partner just scream at each other year-round about the Raiders.
Nice.
It's highly entertaining. RJ's in with us. What's up, buddy?
What's happening? Yeah, I mean, you sound like you prepare for your comedy shows the way Antonio Pierce does for football games. Very, very similar. Just kind of whatever you want to do up at the moment, you know. Hey, we can just punt whenever we want. How does it feel? Go by your gut, right? Never mind, like, for preparation or matches. Whatever you feel at the moment, just go for it. It works.
I feel like RJ Clifford used to be, like, old-timey, punt every time you could. I'm afraid. But even you have now been swayed by analytics and going for it on fourth down, right? Come on.
Well, look, it's not like it's one of those, hey, it's, you know, it's not like, you know, you got to, you know, a 12 against a 2 at a blackjack table where it's 51-49. It was like, I think Bill Barnwell that had the stat. He was like, when trailing by a touchdown or less, fourth and one, and opponents 40 to 49 yard line, teams have gone for it 63 out of 64 times in the last half decade. When it's like that one-sided, when it's that crazy, you're just kind of like, you know what? I can kind of come around to some math. You know, like, you want to sound dumb? Argue against math. It'll really come off looking great.
Well, I mean, we can go after AP because he sounded wishy-washy. I also wonder his openness to bringing in so many influential vets around him, coaching-wise, does edge a little bit away. I'll run it by the board over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, how many chefs can be in one kitchen at one time? And this was always like, look, mm-hmm. I'm dumping all over Antonio Pierce. We knew going in that this would be the case. We knew for sure that there would be moments where he would be outcoached. He'd make mistakes on the sideline because that's not his strength. His strength is he's a motivator. He's a player's coach. He played himself. He's a very smart football player, right? Like, he was the captain of the defense in the New York Giants. Like, that's what his role is, right? He's the anti-Josh McDaniels. And so they went completely the other way. And that's the only part of this that kind of it takes some of the sting off is this isn't a new problem with AP. Like, we knew this was going to be the case.
Talking to RJ Clifford, he's a host on the MMA channel and the Autumn Windbags podcast. I got to ask you about Minshew because going into this, obviously the quarterback battle, it was looked at as a couple of duds, you know, kind of battling it out. I thought that even though they lost, and I mean, save the weird throw backwards pass thing he did, the fumble. I thought he looked okay. I thought he did pretty good. I thought he was going through progressions. I thought he was doing things that a lot of starting quarterbacks, or I'm sorry, backup quarterbacks don't do. I thought he looked like a starter. Am I completely off
Well, I mean, if you take away, like, just how, like, how bad was that backwards throw? Like, his arm was going forward. The ball went backwards. He broke the laws of physics. The pass was so terrible. So, like, I'm not just going to forget that. But, I mean, like, you look at his numbers. Yeah. Like, if you just look at the box score, like, it's fine, right? One touchdown, one interception. There was that fumble, obviously. But there was just, like, when you go back and look at, like, you watch a little tape study and you're like, there are plays where even his completions, like, there was, he had Davante Adams wide open on like a post route. And if they would have even just thrown to Davante in stride, Davante might still be running. But Davante had to stop for an underthrown ball and he got tackled by the safety. But when you're watching it, it's like, oh, 13-yard pass, first down, great. But even when he completed the ball, it was just like, just a little bit more zip, a little bit more anticipation, things would be better. So, I mean, like, you're right. Like, it's, there was the couple super egregious errors, but even when he was like successful, it's like it always just could have been better.
Right.
And on offense in general, one, they've got to be able to run the ball to possess it and keep, you know, offenses like the Chargers off the field. And frankly, I thought the Raiders defense just kind of looked tired the last 10 minutes of the game.
I mean, that's just Harbaugh ball, right? Just run it down their throat, run it, tire them out in the fourth. Look, I was just as impressed with the defense as anybody. We knew this defense was going to be really good. Christian Wilkins is everything we wanted him to be. Max Crosby hasn't missed a step. Robert Spillane, his hair is on fire. But, like, what weapons do the Chargers have that we kept in check? Like, who, like, 70% of their production from last season bounced. Like, their leading receiver was, like, I had to look him up. Ladd McConkey, that little white guy rookie, like, that was their leading weapon. That was their best weapon, right, on receiving wise. And, you know, we saw what J.K. Dobbins could do, breaking a couple. But, like, yeah, they have Justin Herbert. But even with the defense, like, putting out all those three and outs and keeping them in the game. And, again, defense played great. No takeaways. There was no weapons to, like, really keep in check. I mean, what was the dazzling thing that even the defense did? I mean, man, it's rough all over.
Would you come out of that game thinking the Chargers are better than you thought or the Raiders are worse than you thought?
I think the Raiders are what I feared but wouldn't admit. Like, you talk yourself out of it. Oh, AP's going to get him going. He's just going to motivate him. Look at all those weapons. You got Devontae and Jacoby and Zeus and Brock Bowers, like Trey Tucker. Like, oh, my God, all these weapons. And then when Madison reeled off that 33-yarder, you're like, oh, he's like the eighth best weapon on offense, and he's making plays. Like, all these weapons we can't possibly miss. It's like, well, you still got to get the ball there, and you still need to scheme those guys open. Yeah. And, we thought, like, you know, all those weapons couldn't fail, but if you don't have the foundation and the arm to get them there, it's just not going to happen. And we kind of knew it, but we were afraid to admit it.
And it was painful to watch. You know, there's going to be games where there actually is a guy on the offensive line on the other side who can neutralize Max Crosby in the Joe Alt-Max Crosby matchup, which is going to be one for the ages for at least the next few years. Really didn't work out for Max.
No, it didn't. And you flip that around, Bosa and Khalil Mack had their way with Colton Miller and him missing all that time this offseason. Like, that matters. It was both ways, right? So, look, I'm not worried about Max. Of all the things to worry about with the Raiders, Max Crosby isn't one of them. Yeah. Christian Wilkins was everything we hoped he would be. And we know Joe Alt was step number one of Harbaugh creating the Chargers in his own image. And step number one worked.
RJ Clifford, Autumn Winbacks podcast, also one of the great experts host on SiriusXM's Combat Channel. Last couple things on the Raiders. I didn't even ask you, did you go to the game? I mean, you're not too far from SoFi. Did you get over there?
So I'm old enough now where unless I got some crazy hookup, I'm not going. I'm one of those guys. And honestly, like, people are saying, like,
you're right down the road. You're in Long Beach.
It's not far, but with the parking and then with the traffic and all the I'm 41-year-old dad now excuses, like, it all adds up and it's all very real. And, you know, it's getting harder and harder. When it's that hot and you can't layer, it's harder to sneak in a flask. And I ain't paying $18 a beer. So with all those things adding up.
And that's the best point you made out of the whole thing, I think.
Yeah.
That matters. It does. Mm-hmm. It does. We only have so much time left on Earth. Got to get my drink on Sundays.
Yeah. Not everyone has Ellis Island prices. All right. Let me tell you.
That's a good point. By the way, how jealous are you? Once again, another great location. I know you pop in on the show every once in a while, and you're like, "Hey, you're at a pool this time. You're at this bar. You're at that bar. You're at this restaurant."
You're living my like every show. Like the last three shows I've come on as a guest, you've lived like what I would do at 28 years old. You're like, all right, Ellis Island, pool, strip club. All right, I got it all in on one weekend. Perfectly done.
Have you been to, you've been to Thailand? Have they had a fight card in Thailand yet?
They haven't. They've been to Singapore, Korea, Philippines, okay, everywhere around there, but not Thailand yet.
So it's funny, I didn't suggest Singapore for certain reasons, but I've been trying to get Greg, my partner, I want to sell a deal, I want him to help with it, and have, because he kind of bounces around, he's a nomad, sometimes he'll live in a hotel here, he's like Howard Hughes of radio, sometimes he's got a residence. I've been trying to pitch him on, like, go do 3 months a year in Southeast Asia. You've been there a bunch of times, what do you recommend?
So I haven't been to Thailand yet, but I'm going in November. The wife turned 40, and that was the trip that she wanted to do. So a single guy in Thailand, I think, trip would be very different than – I'm assuming you're going single if you go to Thailand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he's living there. We're getting him – he's going to do the show for 3 months a year there.
Okay. So I would say go there because I've heard – and a guy in your position, that's the best place to go. A guy in my position, married with a kid, it's the last place in the world to go. So I think you need to go as our guinea pig, as our canary in the coal mine, and then we can make our judgments after the 3 months.
I feel like you're going down a path that is not at all what I intend. I just want to find a good sports bar.
Wait a
that
minute.
Has cheap beers.
Hold on a second.
Greg can do whatever he wants.
I like what my he's goal, intending.
My goal is just to get him at a like typical Vegas-type place at a good sports bar.
Why not Thailand? Throw a dart at a globe, and you can land on Thailand as well as anywhere else.
Well, RJ raves about Singapore. I mean, you better be on the up and up, and it's very clean, so that's a good thing. All right, so we got this weird setup here, RJ, in Vegas, where we got the Canelo fight, which I'm not sure people are super fired up about, but it is a Canelo fight. The prices are high. It's at the Fortress, so they expect a big crowd there. And then Dana White has been touting this Sphere show as, like, one of the greatest things he's ever produced. What are you expecting? Just kind of an overview. What are you expecting from the venue before we actually talk about the UFC fight card?
Everything I've read about the production, everything I've seen on the production, and I am on the production end of the UFC on their live event production team. Everything Dana White has said has undersold what this is going to be. And this isn't hyperbole. This isn't me promotionally. You know me, Cofield. The muscle that has gone into this, like, it's like in World War II when the United States finally entered the war, right? And all the industrial muscle just like all got pushed into one direction. Like, this is the UFC's entire production team from top to bottom, live, originals. I think they got janitors editing at this point, plus multiple Hollywood producers and directors getting involved in it. Let's put it this way. Every single UFC event, there's a format meeting that's about 30 to 40 minutes a day or two before, and they rehearse for like 2 hours in the morning, right? From the format meeting on Wednesday is going to be 4 hours longer, and then they are rehearsing or blocking from 8 a.m. to about 1 a.m. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning until right before the doors open. I mean, it is all hands on deck. It is like just dotting every I 1,000 times, crossing every T 1,000,000 times. I mean, the amount of detail and stuff going into this is mind-blowing. The amount of technology going into it is crazy. I don't know if it's going to work, but I know it's going to be wild, whether it's because it succeeds or because it bombs. One of the two.
I mean, you're on in Vegas. I mean, Dana could be driving around right now. Don't say you don't know if it's going to work. It's going to work.
Well, yeah, that's what Dana said. Dana said that this weekend. He's like, look, every single detail's in there, but, like, you know, it's, you know, we're, who knows if it's going to work? We're going to find out.
On this card, we're fired up for Sean O'Malley and Marab. Give me first a preliminary card or even early preliminary card fight or fighter that you're like, okay, that's a good fight. People better be there early.
Ignacio Bahamondes versus Manuel Torres. That's the third fight of the mid prelims. Ignacio Bahamondes had like a knockout of the year contender yesterday with that wheel kick. Really, really savvy striker, long guy, young guy, and he has just enough holes to keep things really exciting, where he's not going to give you just a super strict disciplined kickboxing match where he just never get touched. Like, he'll get a little wild here or there. And Manuel Torres is very, very similar, and it's that lightweight, the deepest weight class in MMA. And I just love the name Ignacio Bajamondes. Like, he sounds like a Mexican soap opera star. Like, Ignacio. Ignacio Bajamondes. No, Ignacio. Punch. Punch Ignacio.
Reminds me of Better Call Saul. Wasn't Ignacio one of the main guys in the the young guy or whatever? Am I way off?
Such a good show. Anyways, I don't know. But the Bajamondes at the end helped it all float.
I got to ask you this. That's true. You're right. I got to ask you this because I've said this before. I grew up a boxing fan, MMA way later on. I think a lot of people did because it wasn't as popular as a sport. But do you prefer, like, if you go into a fight and you know it's going to be a ground fight, do you want that or do you want strikers? Because I want strikers every day, all day, and I don't want to watch anything else.
I think MMA fans want action above all. I think that's what they want. So, like, there can be a really, really good ground game. And not even, like, you have to be, like, super technically proficient to understand. Like, you can get dudes slamming each other. You can get guys trying to break arms, which is very visceral. You can bust open, like, orbital sockets with elbows. Like, as long as there's violence and action, I think most fans are happy. But sure, like, a good old-fashioned standing knockout, that's what we all know and love. But there's just something like, how is this legal when a guy is just standing over another dude just punching his face in with gloves that weigh as much as a hamster?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's very visceral. That's what I love about it.
Main event. What do you think is going to happen?
So I was posing this on my show today. This is one of the fights, because MMA, there's obviously so many ways to win, so many ways to lose. It's just so hard to compute what could happen in a fight. But this is one of the rare fights where I feel like it's either Sean O'Malley with a counter left-hand knockout or Merab Dvalishvili, like, 5-0 with nothing but wrestling, or you can bet the field. And I would say, like, the field should be, like, plus 300. Like, there's like, basically only two ways this fight goes. Like, Merab, as good as a grappler he is, he only has one career submission, no knockout power. It's not like they're, like a vicious ground-and-pound guy. Like I mentioned before, he's an all-action wrestler. His takedown attempts are his offense, defense, and special teams. Like, he doesn't even have to make the takedown complete. He doesn't have to finish the shot, but just puts you on your heels, makes you defend, and you can't do anything. And you just can't kill the guy. Like, he just can't be finished. And then Sean O'Malley has one of the best counter strikes in all of MMA. He's super long. He's going to dwarf Merab. And I think he's an underrated grappler, like we saw against Piotr Jan and some other guys. It's not like he's a complete dud on the ground, where if he gets taken down, he's just kind of stuck there for the next 4 minutes, like his opponent's Khabib Nurmagomedov. Like, he can get up and he can crack. So it just seems like that's the only ways it could go. Sean O'Malley counter knockout, Merab WrestleFest.
You can hear RJ Clifford, SiriusXM, Channel 156, SiriusXM Fight Nation. Last couple things. What was that video the other day? Was that really Sean O'Malley filming Merab? Like, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. This looked kind of cheesy. Did he just happen to stumble upon his opponent working out in the rain?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about, because Merab, I don't know if you've seen, but Merab has one of the best social medias out there, and he has a dude who like dresses and looks like Sean O'Malley, who looks exactly like him. It's uncanny how much this guy looks like Sean O'Malley. So you could have either been duped, old man, or it was AI. I don't know which one.
It happened. It was AI, yeah. Have I been duped by the AI? No, generally they ID the AI. There are some amazing AIs with voices, you know, following games where guys are just being torn apart and you're like, oh, wait, that's not really what he's saying. So, but I appreciate you calling me old man.
I got to be honest to the listeners, you know what I mean? I can't be lying.
Yeah. Sometimes, Greg, I'm a little behind.
Yeah. It's
all right. I think we're all 3 years away from getting duped by AI at any moment. It's getting so good. Like, it's scary good.
Yeah. When do you get here?
Tomorrow night. Flying tomorrow night. And then all week, just at the Sphere, at the office, 12, 13 hours, getting ready for the wildest show in the wildest town in America. Once-in-a-lifetime experience.
RJ, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Anytime, guys.
And there he is. RJ Clifford, former fighter. I think he had like 9 pro fights. He wrestled at San Fran State. I was in New York at a bar with that crew about 10 years ago. Guys from the SiriusXM Fight Nation crew. And a guy about your size, RJ fought at 170, probably was like 200 pounds now.
Yeah.
A guy your size went.
So after, like 180 or so?
A guy your size, yeah, slightly bigger than RJ at 170, like bum rushed him in a bar and they kind of like locked up in like a Greco hold.
Yeah.
The tables are flying. I'm like.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? I've never been at a bar. A horser or a rounder.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Were
like
you
that
guy?
No, I hate it.
I will tell you one of the scariest scenes I've been around. It was just because they were large human beings.
Yeah.
I'm doing my directional pointing again. We're at Koval and Flamingo.
Sure.
Front yard, Ellis Island. I'm going to point back that way on Paradise.
He's pointing southeast.
So the old Hard Rock, which is now a Virgin, lovely property, they had a center bar. Which was like, it was like
awesome.
We're hanging out at the center bar, and I was not cool. We just happened to be hanging out there. And Mark Cuban walks in, and for some reason he's hanging around with Steve Empman, who was was he the number one pick?
I don't know.
He was a Washington lineman, defensive lineman, if I have it correct, but was like 6'5", you know, 3'10". And he eventually landed with the Colts. For some reason, those two guys, like, Cuban's not tiny.
Right.
And it was weird. This year, maybe he shrunk because he's getting older, but I saw him. He was in a photo or video with Cam Brink, who's like 6'5". And everyone's like, he's so small. And I'm like, he's actually not that small. But, yeah, like, all of a sudden, he and Steve Empman, like, start locking up. I'm like, what is going on?
Like, especially, for real?
Just horsing around. I'm like, billionaire to be. Yeah, he was a billionaire already back then.
Yeah, I don't do
I'm
that.
Like, I don't.
No. Ooh. I go to jail.
I go to jail.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Are you a bro hugger? Do you bro hug?
If someone makes me do it, I do it, but I don't go out of my way to do it.
We always talk about handshakes and the fist and the greetings. By the way, I have to say, they were poking fun at J.D. Vance on an old video.
Yeah.
Because he had some older lady come up to him. He goes to shake her hand. She does the fist. Her hand is tiny, and he does like the grip of the fist, which I've done so many times, like gotten right there, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And I made an announcement, and Vegas knows this because they listen every day.
Sure.
After COVID, I was like, no more handshakes. So I, like, a week ago, I did it to the UNLV AD.
And what happened?
There's an awkward moment where someone has to step back and go, all right, we have to restore order.
Yeah. No handshakes for me, man.
I think we shook hands.
I'm always fist bump.
And I will tell you the biggest reason. Okay, germs one.
Yes.
But the other one is I grew old of being around athletes
who
all have, like, you could be like a 5'9 quarterback, and then you go to shake his hand, and it's like, come on, bro. Well, and then they power shake.
I know.
Every football player is gigantic.
That's a macho
basketball
thing.
Players are all 6'10".
I know.
Like, I'm not, plus, I don't need to get in here. Come
sweaty
on.
And
that.
It's gross.
You know, I don't know where your hand's been.
And
I don't
want
to know where mine has been.
I don't like the fist bump with the thing you said either, because when they do that, it's kind of like the. Like the paper beats rock where they go over your hand, you know, and the thing. I don't like that either because now I got your hand all over me.
I had a bad case yesterday. I'll tell you about it in a second. You want to get the bites here and the drinks.
Oh, it looks so good.
There's no cutoff, right? But happy hour's 3-6. We're here at Front Yard, Ellis Island. The game just kicked off. This is definitely a great spot to come to any day.
Dude, that pretzel is so good.
That pretzel for $7 is outrageous. It's one of the best giant pretzels in the market. Drive-in burger, you guys both had that. That was awesome. And then specialty drinks, which I got to get one in here before we get out of here, before 6 o'clock. I'm just going to mention one more thing. Go back to the bro hug. Is it bad if you exit a scene, there's two males there that you're friends with, the one you give the fist bump to, the other you give a bro hug to, right in front of the guy you give a fist bump to?
No, that's fine, because it's kind of like the Obama thing. Have you seen the one where he, like, gives all the handshakes, like, to the other black dudes, and then he, like, fist bumps the white guy or whatever.
Right?
Yeah, it's a funny – they did a bit on Key and Peele about it, too, where, like, they overdo it. But
that's not code switching, though.
I don't know.
Code switching is changing, like,
your voice,
your delivery,
right?
And your language for different people, which, by the way, that's the effort's been made to say, like, that's a Kamala thing.
No.
Do you not code switch?
Everybody does.
Do you know how much I curse?
Yes.
Around certain people, and then every once in a while I'm like, oh –
I code switch every time we go on air. Are you serious?
I know.
Like, I'd be fired in 3 minutes.
I've code switched for 30 years.
Yeah. I'd be sitting in HR all day, and I would be fired. So, yeah, of course I code switch. Everybody does.
Do you, like, what's – do Do you have a regional code switch?
I do.
Like, do you go back to New York?
Well, I
can't
go
back to New York. Does the New York out where you're like, all of a sudden you're like,
I say my twos different a little bit when I'm talking to somebody back. Yeah. But like, if I'm on the phone, I don't know I'm doing it. I just hear myself and I'm like, I just sounded like I was from Jersey or something. Is he already back?
No, I was like, what are you doing?
No.
Did you see what they just did?
Who is that? Him?
Rodgers is okay.
Oh, okay.
But what did they just show? It was last year.
Oh. I thought that just happened.
Oh, my God.
No,
I looked up.
No.
Here we go. Brees Hall.
Wow.
Here we go. Fumble.
Jets look great.
Not on that one, but Rodgers was out there. He did throw the shovel
pass. So if you don't know what happened, they showed us a little clip of Rodgers from last year when he got hurt, and we thought it was, like, live.
We were like,
what the hell?
They showed the cart in front of the locker room. Like, not again.
And then he gave it to what's his face, and he just fumbled it. What's his name again, damn it?
Oh, Brees Hall?
Yeah, Brees Hall. What an idiot.
By the way, we're rambling right now. I'm just having random thoughts.
That's all I do.
Why? I don't remember NFL films when they used to show the highlights with the Facenda voice and the music.
Yeah.
Like, when did the like, real exaggerated punch out begin in football? Fred Warner just did it on Brees Hall.
Yeah.
Hall had no chance.
I remember a linebacker. I think his name was Derek Johnson. Do you remember him? I think he played at Texas, maybe.
Yeah, he was with the Chiefs.
Yeah, dude. He's
the first guy.
Well, he's the first guy I've seen do it, where he did it really dramatically and, like, punched it out.
Are you saying Howie Long couldn't do it?
I've never seen Howie Long do it. Doesn't mean he can't do it.
Pretty sure it was Pat Tillman with the Bears.
Howie Long. Was it?
Okay. I believe. I mean, the peanut punch.
You sure it wasn't? That's not what I thought you said. What do you think he said?
I thought he said Pat Tillman.
I swear, we're getting you garbled back a little bit.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, well, I can't say anything bad about Pat Tillman.
I think he's right. I think it was peanut.
But was it peanut Tillman
first?
I don't know.
There has to be a guy somewhere in a rocking chair who's like, I did that. And now they act like it's a big deal.
The first one I remember doing it, though, like very dramatically, was Derek Jones.
Fred Warner with the punch out, producing the fumble. If you go back and look in draft annals, shocker, the Raiders passed on Fred Warner in the third round. He went three picks after the Raiders, and now he's one of the best line. I mean, it's just.
You can do that with any team, though.
Oh, you can.
I mean, the Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson.
Oops.
So.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs before Jefferson.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs before CeeDee Lamb.
At least
Reagor before Jefferson.
Ruggs, you didn't know was going to do that, though. I mean, at least he looked good on the field a little bit.
He did a little bit. Yeah. Yes, he did a little bit. You can still take advantage here at Ellis Island of the Bite Special, $7. Specialty drink, $7. There is an all-you-can-drink beer special for $30, all-you-can-eat special as well. This is the spot on Thursdays and Sundays and Mondays for football. UFC 306 is going to be here this Saturday. Come hang with us. We're going to be here for a few more hours into the second half of the game. Jets and Niners scoreless, just about 4 minutes into the game.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, Minshew lost the football. That is a live football. Picked up by the Chargers, and it's lost by the Chargers. Still loose. Bouncing around. LA has it down the near sideline. And he's finally tackled by Colton Miller at the Raiders' 14-yard line. It was scooped up by Khalil Mack as Gardner Minshew tried to pump fake. And as he did, Link, he threw a lateral that went backwards as a fumble. And the Chargers have the game's first takeaway.
Niners settle for a field goal. By the way, if you want to listen to the game, Raider Nation Radio 920. It'll be on here on ESPN Las Vegas in a little bit. Monday Night Football. Cofield and Company carrying the show until 6 o'clock. Ellis Island, the front yard. If you haven't been here, big beer garden. They did a massive build-out in front of the property. It's dynamite. And I can't get to all the specials. That's how crazy their specials are, which is a good thing because a lot of places around town, unfortunately, just to the west of us, because we're on Koval and Flamingo, they're not so friendly, right? These guys are friendly. Happy hour 3 to 6, so that's going to come to a close here in the next 25 minutes. And get over here. The specials keep rolling on, though, because you got an all-you-can-drink beer, all-you-can-drink-eat special. Mondays are also Mega Mondays, which I know you noticed earlier there were some big fishbowl drinks, right?
Yeah.
The server's walking away with them now.
Quite large.
That couple finished them. But they got two. You know why? Because Monday is Mega Monday. You buy one, you get one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Mega Mosa, Mega Mary. Mega Sangria, and I think they've got a punch.
Ooh, Mega Punch sounds like the best one.
Would you like me to get you one?
I can't.
It's a buy one, get one.
I know. I wish, man. I can't drink.
You and your discipline.
I know. It sucks.
Why are you here?
I don't know. I'm down to a B-size bra. I'm trying to get down to an A.
That's a good line. It's quick thinking on your part.
Thanks.
How many bras do you have? Or what was the other ones? What was the other name of them? I think it was the bra, wasn't it? On Seinfeld? The man bra?
The man bra?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just been free. I've been free falling it, I guess. But I'm just trying to get them to free fall less.
I get it.
Going from National Geographic to, like, normal.
Rocking some moves.
Yeah.
All right, Jets with a couple of first downs.
It's good. Must feel good for Aaron Rodgers to complete a pass after the first time in a few years. No, I'm not being
facetious. What are you on the broadcast now?
I'm not being facetious. I'm just saying. You know.
Was that a mock or was that just you needed some canned analysis? That must feel good after you've missed it.
I'm just saying. I saw him complete one, and I was thinking in my head, I might as well say it out loud since I have a microphone in my hand. So that was one of my thoughts.
This is the portion of the program where a lot of it we do have a rundown.
Yeah.
But now things start to hit me.
Sure.
The Mega Monday thing, like I'm looking forward to a fishbowl. I could mix that with some Heffy, one of their fine craft beers. There could be some pork belly bites in my future. Oh. So I start, as I say all the time, there's a gleam. When I'm around happy hour and drinks and food, there's a gleam, men. And it's like Marty Schottenheimer, right, getting ready for a football game. We got to hit a bunch of stuff. But I just thought of this one. And in reading some stuff last night, I just made reference to Jim Nantz and Tony Romo quickly. I did it under my breath. Can we all stop with Tom Brady?
Oh.
Can we just give it half a season? I'm just going to say, especially for – I know you're going to counter this. I'm just going to say for people in the media – sort of, whatever. You can kind of get in the media any way you want now, right?
Yeah, look at me.
You start with a podcast, right? He did one game.
Yeah.
Chill. I watched a little bit. I heard a little bit early, and he was nervous. You could tell he was nervous. Now, I understand the flip side. You're paying $37.5 million for the entity that is Tom Brady. Like, he should be good now. I think he's going to be great at this. But there were so many people waiting. And I think it's mostly the money thing.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this man, Tom Brady, made my falls and part of winter a living hell for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit here and tell you, chill.
But you also like Collinsworth too, right?
I like Collinsworth.
Yeah.
And I like Romo because I'm not an ass. And I'm not saying that, like, I know what it's like. I've done a smidgen of color analysis.
Yeah.
And I didn't play, so my wealth of knowledge is nowhere near these guys. Right? And I understand they're supposed to be really good when they start, but we kind of know the deal. The role. And that's why I will go back. I thought Romo was the most advanced guy I'd ever heard.
I was going
to
say.
Right off the field. And now, but now it's like, he sucks. Collinsworth sucks. Like, everyone sucks. Like,
I don't think Romo sucks. I think Romo's good. I think Romo's.
Why does everyone kill him?
Because I think people get. Romo has the effect of, like, who's the dude that had the podcast and he's all edgy and ESPN gave him a McAfee.
Yeah.
It's kind of the McAfee thing where it's like. He's the new hot thing, and then everybody watches, you know, and everybody blah, 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 and then all of a sudden it's like everybody, it's cool to crap on
right.
him. I feel like it's like that with Romo, too. But Brady, I thought, was legitimately terrible.
Terrible.
Like, he sounded like RFK Jr. when he was talking. He was so nervous. And I don't know. He wasn't saying anything that wasn't completely obvious, and I don't know.
By the way, at the front yard at Ellis, there's a bunch of Niners fans. Do you see the wine and the cheese over there? They're calm. They're quiet.
Yeah.
No, not the lady here. They're having fun. They're getting wild.
Right.
I know you're checking out the one. No, there's some guys over there, and they're just like they're eating their cheese. They got the sipping
right.
some wine. There's a guy over here who keeps getting up, and like screaming, and he basically just jumped across the table to try to get in the end zone because the Jets came up.
He looks like one of those guys that would get in the fight at the bar you were talking about that would roughhouse, and then they would wind up getting in a fight.
Watch him.
Get in there. Yeah.
That's what you do. When I'm with my people and things are going well for 4 minutes a game, that's what you do.
6-3 Jets.
Rodgers, he's back. See that handoff? You see the mesh point?
See the mesh
point? See the mesh point?
It was good.
That's my favorite new term, by the way. I love that whole advanced thing now.
Yeah.
Because we all have to like reflect how coaches and players talk.
Right. It's like how a kid plays Gran Turismo for 3 minutes and then he was in Apexes when he's driving.
Yeah. It was obviously I'm on the UNLV broadcast team and I'm down on the field, I'm listening to the game, getting my reports in, and then Caleb Herring comes on, former quarterback. And he's talking about their starting quarter, Matt Sluka, and that there's like six different running backs. And he's like, man, the mesh point. Every guy, he's got the different, he's got it down. I'm like, that's my new thing. I'm going to throw a mesh point.
I want to know the mesh point before every play now. I need to know the exact mesh point. Because if they get it wrong, I want to know.
This show has had multiple points, mesh points, where the handoff was terrible. We just looked at each other. We're like, eating or am I eating?
Whenever I'm on any show, there's always bad mesh points. It doesn't matter.
All right, 7-3. Okay, so we'll put – do you want to rant more about Brady?
I just think he sucks, but, I mean, there's really nothing else to go on about it.
You know. Okay. I mean, it was on and on and on.
Yeah, I thought, look, I think his facial work he's had done has been great. His broadcasting –
doesn't he look unreal?
Yeah, he looks great. But his broadcasting –
I'll tell you what, the beneficiary of this, there's been 2 points in this man's career where – the internet helped him a lot. And I'm talking about Greg Olsen. The first was the seventh floor crew with the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And Greg had the third leg. That has to carry you for a long time. When you're in a song and you're referencing a kickstand.
Yes.
Because there's people, women are like.
Yeah, of course.
I'm in. I got to see this.
Right. Yeah. No.
Greg Olsen is the biggest beneficiary of Brady. Like, people have made him into this, like, this poor soul.
He was great, though.
The 6'5 blonde guy with a third leg who just got into broadcasting is now God's gift to announcing. People are like, bring back Olsen. He was great.
I'm don't think he was great?
No, I thought he was good.
I think he was,
like, the greatest ever.
I thought he was the best one.
Really?
I mean, not ever, but, like, that we currently have, like, if I want to watch a game, I thought he was a little bit better than Romo.
Really?
I do.
All right.
No? You know, you're not feeling
I love Romo. And I like Collinsworth.
I like Romo, too. Well, see, Collinsworth, I could never listen to again.
You know what I'm saying with Collinsworth is here's the problem with all this. I think it's the number one problem with Romo and Collinsworth for people who watch.
Yeah.
You're all sad. People can't, like, they can't.
Well, of course. I mean,
they see other people get happy and exhilarated, and they're like, calm down, man.
Like, nah, I don't think
I keep
that's
seeing
what
with Collinsworth, it's like, oh, Mahomes did this, Mahomes did that. Do you watch games? And you're like, Jesus, Mahomes is great. Like, why can't an announcer get excited?
It's not that he's excited. It's just the things he says. I should have wrote something down.
Blew out my eardrum. I think I'm going to start bleeding.
I'll write something down next time that he says something, and I'll bring it back, and you can know what I'm saying.
But out of context, it doesn't, like, you got to be watching the visuals of the football play.
Man.
Get fired up.
He's like, hey, that guy threw the ball. Ah. I'm like, okay, whatever.
All right, first of all, he's not Wilford Brimley. That was the football scene from Cocoon.
All of a sudden he sounds like Norm MacDonald. Well, the light was on.
Somehow I've become a giant defender of these announcers.
Yeah, the Collinsworth thing I don't get. Romo I get. I get not hating Brady already, whatever. But the Collinsworth thing, yeah, it makes my ears bleed. I can't stand it.
Coming up, the grab bag. We got 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Jets are up 7-3. Plenty of time to get over here. This is a great spot to watch Monday Night Football. Inside the front yard, Ellis Island. By the way, other cool things here. I love karaoke. This is arguably the best karaoke room in the city.
Sorry to cut you off. I got excited.
Yeah.
I took a date here to karaoke once, man, and she actually had a good time, and it wound up being beneficial for me later in that night.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
This is a great first quarter, huh? Very entertaining. Very entertaining. Oh, looks like someone got popped in the pills. One of the Jets players running off the field. All right, well, Little Shanny's team is down right now, 7-3. Jets are up. You asked me earlier, Greg Salerno's here. It's Ellis Island, front yard. We're going to be here every Monday for Monday Night Football. We stay after the show. I do. We stay after the show, giving away some prizes, good stuff on the way, and awesome specials throughout the game. All you can drink beer, $30. All you can eat, there's a special on that as well. The menu here is awesome. These guys had the pork belly bites and went gaga over it. I told you, they have their own pork supplier. They're so good at pork, they were like, we have to get our own.
It is so good. It was like they just, the pig was like back in the back somewhere or something.
Fresh.
So good.
You asked me earlier, am I a Purdy guy?
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
Why not?
I feel like he's perfect for them because he's cheap and he runs that offense well. But I feel like if they get into a Dak situation where they got to pay this guy big quarterback money, then there goes the entire 49ers team setup because they're set up around a guy who's cheap. And if he's the guy making all the money, they're not going to be able to fill in the roster anymore, and I feel like that's it. Boop.
Around the NFL, outside of Kirk Cousins, how many times do we see teams go, you know what, the $45 or $50 million quarterback that we have, we're not doing an extension? And it almost never happens when a guy is young.
Right.
And shows some promise. I mean, obviously the Giants completely cooked themselves for years.
Right. Well, that's what could happen, though. Yeah.
Browns kind of lucked into it because Baker got hurt, and then they played him and hurt him more. And then right. So then they were like, oh, this is easy out. Now that now what they spent on looks like he might be worse than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
But I don't think after seeing Dak, and God, I was hoping he was going to the open market. Man, I was hoping – he was on the open market. Jerry Jones would be talking trash, and then the Raiders would come in and be like, 65 million a year. Now we got our guy. Thanks, Jerry.
That would have been awesome.
But he didn't do it. He agreed to it. So
of course, though.
Are the Niners great scouts? They nailed this guy in the seventh round. Are the Niners one of the teams that will, for the first time, say, you know what? We just cannot justify this guy for that much of the payroll.
No. Unfortunately, they're going to do it. I mean, fortunately for me
you
as an Eagles fan. Yeah,
you
I want it.
It.
I'm saying, unfortunately, if you're a Niner. But, yeah, I think they are going to do it, and I think it's going to be the end of the Niners' run, honestly. Because, again, their success is because of that roster, not because of the quarterback, and because of that system. And once you're paying a guy all that money, I don't think that's the kind of team that could do that.
Go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Eagles, Packers. If the shoe – well, let's say if the twist was on the other leg – instead of the shoe on the other foot. What would people in Philadelphia be saying?
Philly?
If Jalen Hurts was in the position that Jordan Love is right now.
It would be a record for arson in the city. Not a single car would be upright. They'd all be upside down.
I don't know that Roger Goodell could have come back to the country.
It was – how – first of all, I'm sorry that it happened to Love, you know, and
that's awful.
It sucks. But how many times did I say before this stupid game that the field's going to suck, someone's going to get hurt, they're going to be sliding all over the place. Two plays in, they're sliding all over the place. Saquon's first carry can't even make it to the line because he falls down. Even the Packers could have had a couple extra catches if the guy receiver didn't fall down. Awful field. Did you see the video of the field after the game? It was like they just played in a marsh somewhere. It was ridiculous. If I'm a Packers fan, I'm going nuts right now. I don't understand the point of that game, why they played that game. How did that make them any money? I know people are like, oh, you don't understand? What are you, dumb? Money. How does it make money to play in a failed state with no Twitter, that nobody watches the sport there? Who cares? Like, how does that make them any money at all? It's so stupid. I just don't understand.
I mean, without Twitter, what's the point of life?
Well, I'm just,
no, I get your point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in terms of spreading the word.
Yeah, exactly.
The easiest free publicity is using the internets.
Right.
And they've got it shut down. They've got it restricted. But
and I who watches football in Brazil?
Apparently it's really popular.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I don't think they know what they're doing. I was joking on Friday. We were watching the end of the game. And I'm like, are there seriously like 78 people lined up to take a picture of Roger Goodell? Do they even know who this
yeah,
is?
Yeah, exactly. They have no idea. You know, they speak Portuguese. They don't know what's going on.
Do they know what we think of Raj?
No. They think he's a quarterback.
Do they know what Green Bay, Milwaukee, the entire state of Wisconsin, and cheeseheads all over the country are thinking right now?
I could have told him I was Saquon Barkley. They wouldn't believe me.
Seems a little big. I can't do a Portuguese accent, nor can I speak Portuguese, so I won't even insult them like that. Ellis Island, this is our home on Monday nights. Make sure you come on out tonight and throughout the season. It's the Front Yard. Fantastic specials. Happy hour runs from 3 to 6, but they got specials running through the game. And that's really all the football viewing here. Mondays, Thursdays, college football on Saturdays. And a reminder, big deal for UFC 306 right down the road at the Sphere. They'll have a big viewing party here at the Front Yard. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you.